Of the Lord. I want to go ahead and let our musicians be seated if you'd like to. And I will say, I sure did enjoy the song service this morning. I mean, just every, seemed like every song was just perfectly in place. I just love that. It's sometimes when you get ready to speak, it's you question yourself, like, well, is this the way that God wants me to do? And I just, Lord, all I know to do is go the way you, I see it go. And then the song service just goes just right with it. It's, so I just thank the Lord for that. I love to be a Christian. You know, it's just, I love to have something inside me that responds to God's word.
Yes, that's right.
There's so many people that don't have that. And I can just I can hear the word sometimes, and I can hear the prophet say something, and I can say, Lord, I'm a mess. But there's still something inside here says I believe that. And you know what? He's seen a vision of the end time, and I believe I was one of them. And I believe you are one of them. You know, I've got loved ones, I've got brothers, I've got a mom, I've got a dad, I've got saints that are here that aren't here this morning. And there's something inside me that is, why? Yes. Why is there not a call in their heart to be in service? Why is there not a call in their heart to be in the presence of God? Sure. And my sincere prayer this morning is the Lord can help us to see, Lord, what can we do to live a life of such an impact where we can touch somebody? Say amen.
Amen.
I want to talk to you on a little topic this morning, tried character. I want to go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 7. Get on the multimedia, everybody. 1 Peter 1:7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to be here this morning, and I just ask you, Lord, to let something be said, Lord, that can touch somebody's heart and here today, Lord, to cause them to draw closer to you, Lord. Lord God, I thank you for your presence today, Lord. I thank you for an ear to hear your word, Lord, and Lord, to be able to recognize your presence today. I ask you to touch every heart that's here, and I ask in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I just want to read a quick quote. It's says, you see, a man's character is made known by his works. Whatever you are, your works prove what you are. No matter how much you testify, whatever you say, pro or con, that has nothing to do with it. Your works tell what you are. Tells what you are inside. Every job that you do manifests what you are. And you businessmen, if you do a patched up job, see what I mean? Just a halfway job, don't do that. If you can't do it right, don't do it at all. And when you come to Christ, if you can't absolutely sell out, lock, stock, and barrel, and come to Christ, amen, don't come at all. But when you really want to be a Christian, stand out, make it real. That's what God wants you to be. And that'll prove, your works will prove what your character is. Your character is known by the works that you do. Say amen.
Amen.
We should do all that we can, all that we can, to do the best that we do, or whatever we do in each day. And you know, Brother Brown said, if you're going to be a bum, be the best bum you possibly can. Don't work a single day in your life. And I know he said that to try to sound funny, but it's a realistic thing that I think we should be the best of the best at whatever we do.
That's right.
If you're waiting tables, if you're mopping floors, if you're flipping burgers, if you're being a doctor, we should be the absolute best of the best, because we're doing our best at whatever we do. And coming to Christ is the same way. It's real easy to display a huge smile and be positive energy whenever your crops are plentiful, when everything's working right. It seems like everything you touch has been blessed. That's what I kind of call living on the mountaintop. How many knows what I'm talking about? You can go through times and think like things are going good. But you know, it's when your crops are dying. And it seems like every time you put your hand towards something, it falls apart. And it feels like you've fallen flat on your face. It's how you handle those times. It's when you're able to pick yourself back up and say, you know what? God called me to this. I'm going to finish this through. And I think of Job when I say that, because Job was a man that did everything that he knew to do. He did a burnt offering, a sacrifice for his family every day. He had children that wouldn't serve the Lord. And he would get up and he would do a burnt sacrifice every day. And I want to stop and just think about it. We're talking about a tried character. It's real easy to read over the scriptures and you see, well, Job did a burnt sacrifice for his family. He did it, and all of a sudden the storms come, and you see the end of the story where God saved Job's children. But I want to really slow down and see, what did Job really go through? Whenever Job, on a daily basis, wanted to see progress in his children's life. What did Job truly go through whenever he did the right things he needed to do in the business to cause his business to be as plentiful as it was? Because Scripture says he was very blessed. And God blessed his crops. God blessed all these things. Job did all these things to do the right things. And he would, even though his children had no desire at all to serve God, he would do with the one thing that he was required in his day for the token. And that was for him to get up and do a burnt sacrifice every day. Once you stop and think about, what did Job really go through whenever he would see, go day by day, and he would be sincere before God and say, Lord, as I do this burnt sacrifice before you, I claim my children, God. I claim my family. I claim my uncles, it may be. I claim this promise of God. And it seems like morning after morning after morning, time after time after time, he does the burnt sacrifice, but he doesn't see any results. It's real easy to read over the scriptures and say he did the burnt sacrifice and it was over. We don't know how many years that went by that he was tried. His character was tried. Because it's real easy to do a burnt sacrifice, and you hear the Christian music as they have it in the movies, where you can feel the presence of God come and you say, wow, God's fixing to move for Job. The music's playing. You're seeing the things happen. But in life, there's no music. How many knows that? In life, there's nothing. In real life, sometimes you can pray and it feels like there's nobody even listening to you. You feel that way. If we'll be honest, we'll all say, hey, man.
Right. But Job had something on the inside of him that God said he requires a token for this day. And the one thing I know to do, I'm going to do this burnt sacrifice every day. I'm going to claim my children. And Job began, kept doing these things. And then all of a sudden, you know what happened with Satan come down and he said, let me afflict him and then he'll curse you. And God withdrew his hand, pulled his hand back, and he said, okay, you go ahead and you curse, O Job. You can do all these things to Job, but don't you touch his life. So I want you to think about a man that was doing the right things he knew to do. He was doing everything he knew to do. And without a doubt, there was times in his life when he felt despair. There was times in his life he said, God, every morning I'm doing these sacrifices. Every morning I'm praying, I'm claiming my children, and I'm not seeing any results. Imagine Job was going through these things, but you couldn't tell from looking at the outside because Job had a steadfast walk. And then on top of this, God pulls his hands back. Now you can look at that and say, Job wasn't going through anything. I believe Job was walking through a trial at that time. He was doing a sacrifice at that time. And then on top of that, God says, all right, I'm going to pull my hands back. You go ahead and do what you can to Job, but don't you touch his life. And then Job began to see, he was doing the same things he knew to make business work. Job was doing everything he knew to make these things happen. All of a sudden, everything he touched seemed like it just fell apart. I mean, he's never felt that way. And it seems like you can sew yourself down and say, I'm going to do, okay, I know I've got to do this, I've got to do this, I've got to do this, and these things work. And it seems like the more you try to do it, the worse it got. Brother Tony's doing the mudding on the wall. I let him do it because he's a lot better at that stuff than I am. I tried that. I got it off YouTube on how to drywall our house. And looking at the video, it looked real easy. He said very simple. He said, oh, you just do this. You take your tape, you dip it in the water, put some mud on it, run it down, run the blade down it, and it's just very just like that. And I'm watching this video, and I'm just like kind of looking at Job, you know. I'm watching this video, and I'm saying, oh, this is easy. I can do this. Babe, I can do this in one day. Okay, we can knock this stuff out. It's easy because I'm watching from the side. I'm watching this. And then it come down, I went and got the tools. I got everything that I needed to do this mudding. And I got the 5-gallon bucket, I got the water, I got the mud, I got all the tools, I did all these things. And I put the tape on the wall, first strip down, it was absolutely perfect. You would think I took a golf club and just hit a hole in one. And I thought, there's nothing to this. Why haven't I been doing this all my life? I went to the next one and it ripped. The paper ripped immediately. And then I tried to repair it. And the more I tried to help it, the worse it got. It was the absolute worst mess you've ever seen in your life. When you're standing from the sideline and you're looking at it, you can say, that's easy. Just run the tape down it, do this, do that. Oh, that's easy. Yeah, that's a piece of cake, nothing to it. I'm here to tell you, when you go down to doing it yourself, when you're in the trenches yourself, and you're going through the trial yourself, and you're feeling the things your eyeballs don't see. Because then all of a sudden you're feeling the body aches and the pains and the worries that you have as a parent sometimes, or as a brother sometimes. When you see your loved ones, when you see Job, it's easy to look at that and say, there's nothing to it. Take the lamb, put it on there, do the burnt sacrifice, nothing to it, easy, token. It's real easy to look at the Passover and say, down Goshen, brother, thank you for that song. It's real easy to look down Goshen where they took the lamb without blemish. They slaughtered the lamb and took the blood and put it on the doorpost. Easy. Watch it on YouTube. Simple. Just go up there, take the blood, fly to the door, get inside, eat the bitter herbs. Easy. Nothing to it. Let's just do it. Now let's really do it. When you're really going through life, no music, no emotions, life. Whenever you're taking the blood of the lamb, taking this word and your acceptance, say, God, I claim my children. By the obedience of your word, God, I'm going to claim your children. I accept what you've done in my life. I'm claiming my children. Oh, that sounds easy, don't it? But I'm here to tell you, when you're really applying the token, it's hard. Sacrifice. Because how many times is it so easy to just give in just a little bit? And say, you know what, this don't matter. This little thing doesn't matter. We'll let this one little video come through. It's no big deal. Just one. They just said one word. Next word they say, it's out. Hello. The next time they do a kiss. At one time, we would never let a film in the house at all where you kissed at all.
Right.
Not one single time. But then because it's Hallmark and it's some fancy guy in a red coat riding a horse. Hello. And your standards were up. Nope. Kiss, it's out. We ain't allowing that in my house. I would not let somebody stand in my house and kiss in my house if they weren't married. I wouldn't let it. It's my home. But the television. You let them come in. The music comes on. They kiss one another right inside the film. And you can tell yourself one more time and it's out. We one more thing and it's out. Next thing you know, it's two things, three things, four things, right. Five things, six things. And next thing you know, it's like, well, you know what? It's just a show. It's not a big deal. Amen. You know, we can tell ourselves at the standard. Brother Branham used to call it, I love Susie. We've talked about television. I'm going to tell you, that's one of our worst enemies we have today, yeah. Is the television.
That's right.
It's the hardest giant I have ever fought myself. Because I grew up watching shows. So I have memories of watching the old shows. I've got those memories. You say, Brother Daniel, you don't even know. I'll just be honest with you. I'm a man of faults. But you know what? You have memories of those things, and you'll remember those things. You'll remember those things. The worst enemy we have is the television. Brother Tony's done a lot of locks over time in their message anyway. Brother Tony said something here a while back. And I want to kind of capitalize on it just a little bit. Because I think it's right. And I really thank God for our pastor. Think about a Christian film. They're nice, they make you feel great. But what happens in those Christian films is you get caught up in the emotion of the music when the music's playing. And because you're caught up in the emotion of the music playing, you begin to let things slide that you wouldn't let slide before. Because you will tell yourself, this is a Christian film. I'm looking beyond those things because I'm looking to the message of the film. I'm looking beyond those things, but how many knows how filthy that even a Christian film can be? Where they're showing women, where they're showing their breasts in such a way to where it causes your eyes to look at, they'll cause their skirts to be in such a way where you look at that, they'll cause the man. Have you ever noticed on a Hallmark show, they won't show you some little pipsqueak guy with freckles all over his face and braces. They'll show you some guy with broad shoulders, big arms, riding the horse, if it were, or riding the motorcycle. Why do they do that? It's because there's a lust attraction to it.
That's right.
For the man and for the woman. They're not going to show some woman that's not attractive. They're going to show someone, a woman that will keep your attention, where it keeps you excited about. And you know, one of the things it does when you have those films, one of the many things it does, it causes the man to begin to judge his wife because she's not looking like that woman on that television show. Because the woman on the television show, she has 14 kids and she is just as thin as a fiddle or whatever you want to call it. She's femme and she's slim and trim. And the man can begin to compare his wife to that woman on the television. And because she's not looking like Miss Hollywood, all of a sudden, he's starting to compare her to somebody else.
That's right.
And the man also. The woman can look at that man and see the man that's broad shoulders, straight neck. He's doing all these things right. He's tough. He's Mr. Tough Guy. And all of a sudden, you start to look at your guy and like, my God, my husband's kind of a wimp. My husband's not quite like that. You don't realize that, but that's exactly how Hollywood works. Our worst enemy we have is Hollywood. Hollywood creeps right into the church service to where even the songs. I believe we sing wonderful songs here. I will say that. But he can creep right into the songs to where you're under the inspiration of a worldly song to where it's rock and roll music. You can say the words you want to, but it's rock and roll music. If you could, I'm very tone deaf. I can't listen to, I have to listen very closely to hear words. And that's one of the reasons I sing so bad. I say one because I'm sure there's quite a few other reasons too. I wish I could sing really good. But I say this because the home is where Satan is attacking. Because when Satan can get the home, he can get the church. I'm going to want you to listen to what Brother Branham says about this. Brother Branham has been out on the road. He's been ministering. And if you listen to Brother Branham's voice, you'll hear behind his voice how much he misses his family. He says, "And how I would love to be there tonight. You don't know how I would like. Many of you know what it is to be away from home, don't you? But I say it's just a little shack. But it doesn't take a big house to make a home. It's the character of the inside that makes a home. And I'm so thankful for a home." Let me read one more. It says, "And here it is. If I'm getting this right, so it is today. A man or woman who really tries to live a Christian life and abstain from the things of the world backs off and says they're just a fanatic. Every man that tries to trust God, his fellow man will call him goody-goody or sissy or something like that. Sissy. I don't judge man by the callus in his hands. It's by the bag of the knees in his pants, whether he bows and prays or not. Men's not judged by stature. He's judged by character. I've seen men that weighed 200 pounds and didn't have an ounce of man in him. He'd ravish a mother with a baby in her arm. A man's judged by character. What's on the inside? Our character is identified by our works. Not to say that you should be smiling when you hit the hammer, your finger with a hammer. That'd be kind of freaky if you did. Not to say that you'll never have a disagreement with the ones that are closest to you. But it's how we handle ourselves after we step out of line. If a person can say that they never step out of line and they never miss a beat, then they probably need to stand here rather than me. Because I depend upon the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Lord could have chosen a lot less flawed people to reveal this word today. But for some reason, He chose you and me.
Right.
And the devil will anoint people in your life to be a Pharaoh over you. If it's your job, they'll make your job twice as hard as it has to be, and they'll expect you not to diminish one single bit. And the devil doesn't change his tactics. He did the same thing with the children of Israel. They knew the job they had to do, but when they began to worship God, Pharaoh began to call them. He says, "You go, do the work, do the same work, but I'll make it twice as hard on you." He will cause people to do you wrong, and then if you ever speak up or show a sign of defending yourself, they'll start calling you a hypocrite. The devil will talk you into robbing the bank, and then he'll call 911 on you. We're influenced by two realms, either heaven or hell. And as heaven is pulling away from this world because of the grieving of the Holy Spirit, there's more of hell than there is heaven.
Right.
Think of how it used to be so much easier to get in the Spirit on a daily basis. At work, going to the store, wherever you're going. And you older folks in the room that's been serving the Lord, you'll know what I'm talking about. You younger people will probably start seeing it yourself. Just from as a younger person, as even to where you are now, how much harder is it to get in the Spirit on a daily basis? I remember we had an apartment that we stayed in when we lived in Pecola. It's been several years ago. I had to go inside this apartment, the landlord's, to pay our rent. And as I was standing there waiting for her to get the money or the receipt for me, I began to realize I felt so annoyed, so something was wrong. I felt a pressure on me that I didn't quite understand. I felt so uncomfortable. And I had just been in the room for just a few minutes. And I kept sitting here at the wedding, like, what is wrong with me? And then all of a sudden, I realized I heard some clicking going over, and I looked over, and her son had a video game. And playing this video game, it was an old game called Grand Theft Auto. And it was one of the most demonic games I think I'd ever seen at that time. And this has been 10 years ago, 15 years ago. It was a video game to where she said, oh, it's just a video game. It's not a big deal. Listen to me, young people, it is a big deal. If it's a video game and you're shooting people and you're killing people, if it's a video game and you're doing these things and you've got the rock and roll music, and I was at the service yesterday, they had a video game pulled up on his phone, and it was a woman with no clothes on. She was like in a bikini on a video game. Pulled over, I said, what are you playing there? A video game. How slick has the devil gotten today?
Right.
When you can go on the internet, if you're trying to do just a legit search on the internet, you could be pulling up the weather. And they'll pop up something on the screen of the internet will show a woman with no clothes on. And then you'll turn that off, and the next day, guess what happens? Another woman. Not the same woman. Another woman. What is it? Because you've got the token applied to your home. You've got the token applied, and the devil will come by and he'll give one pop-up after another. Causing the sister to want to cut your hair. Cause the sister to want to wear a little lower blouse. Cause the sister to want to wear a little shorter skirt. Cause you to want to listen to just a little bit of country music. Cause you to want to listen to just a little bit of worldly music. Just a little bit. And he doesn't just give you it all at once. He'll give one little snapshot and he'll pull away. One little snapshot and pull away. Because every time he does that, he's putting a seed in your mind. And that seed will require more water. He'll put a seed in your mind to where you'll see these things. You'll hear the music, a temptation to cut your hair. At first, you'd hear this. I would never do that. Absolutely not. I'm going to tell you something. Before I come to this message, I remember there was a time when I seen a boy with an earring in his ear, I thought that was the vilest, filthiest, wimpiest, most perverted thing I'd ever seen in my entire life. When I seen that, I said, what are you? I don't even understand that. I wasn't even in a Christian home when I seen that. I said, what are they thinking? That's insane. I would never do that. You know what the devil did? One little snapshot at a time, pull away. Time goes by. One little snapshot, pull away. Time goes by. One little snapshot pulls away. Time goes by. And the next thing you know, eventually, that seed took root. And then I started to entertain the thought. At first, I would say, what? I would never do that. But now, because that snapshot, that seed got inside my mind, and it took a root, then I began to think about it. And even then, not immediately. Snapshot, pull away. Snapshot, pull away. And eventually, how in the world it ever happened, one day I was walking down between two buildings, and I looked over and seen them in the glass. I had not one, but three rings in my ear. I remember what ear it was a long time ago. I think it was this one. You can tell yourself, I would never do that. I've got the token over my home. I've got the blood over the door. I would never do that. I would have never allowed that in my home. I would never allow that in my experience. I would never even think about those things. Never. But what happens? The devil will snapshot and pull away, snapshot and pull away, and the next thing you know, you're not just watching a little goody two-shoe show. You've got stuff where they kissed four times. If you look at the next episode, the same guy's kissing another woman. And how many will he kiss after that? How many women will he kiss or she kiss? You know what I'm saying. You say, Brother Daniel, those things don't matter, does it? I know this is one of the subjects that nobody wants to hear about. But it's the truth. We say we want to get closer to God. Who wants to get closer to God? We say we want our children to have a closer walk to God. Do we really? Are we willing to take the shotgun, if it were, and blow a hole in it, as Brother Benham said? Are we willing to take the stand and say, you know what, I don't care what anybody... I'll tell you, when I gave in to... And I'm just going to confess to you. When I gave in and let the TV on the wall in our house, it was when I heard another minister give me his reasoning for doing it. And I said, you know what, he's right. I should have never done that. Years I would never even fool with it. But I let somebody that was close to me said, oh, it's all right, Brother Daniel. I would rather do it this way. And I let that thing in. Can it be used for a good thing? Yeah, it can. But how often is it used for the good thing? Amen?
Right.
It can be used for good family. Yeah, it can be. But how often is it only used for that? I want God to be in my scene where I can start seeing my family coming in.
Right.
But you know what? God's not going to do that until I do my part. And I'm willing to clean and say, God, I'm going to sanctify my house. I'm sanctifying my home. I'm sanctifying everything that I do, God. It's a daily thing. And someone can look at it and say, imagine seeing Miss Jones out there and Mr. Jones. And they're out there and they've applied the blood and they let something slip and it comes down. And then go back out there again. They're applying the blood. And the neighbors, Mrs. Rogers and Mr. Rogers, look over and say, they're over there trying to do it again. I've seen them try to apply that token so many times, and they're trying to do it again. Watch, they'll fail again. They'll fail again. So many times they've taken this stand, and they took the stand, and then watch, they'll quit. That's a devil, is what that is. I'm going to tell you, whenever you take a stand for the word, and someone starts criticizing you and says, you know what, you shouldn't even try anymore. Just let it slide. Just let it go. I'm here to tell you, that's a devil. You know what you should hear? You know what voice you should be hearing? You shall not surely die. These things don't really matter in your life. You can do these things. It's fine. You shall not surely die.
Right.
It's okay to listen just a little bit of Christian or country music. You shall not surely die. It's okay to watch these things. You shall not surely die. As I said, can a TV be used for a good thing? Absolutely. How often is it used just for the good thing? Amen. Might need my wife to start the van up and back it up close to the building. Run out as quick as we can after service. I'm stepping on my toes too.
Right.
No, you want to see more of the revelation of God? Absolutely. But you know what? There's things you've got to do before God's going to start revealing you more.
Right.
The more we can walk in truth, I'm ashamed to say there's times when people will say something about something going on, whether it be sports or anything like that, and I know what they're talking about. I wish God helped me be to a place where I don't even know what they're talking about. I want to be French when they start talking to me. I have no idea what they're talking about. I want to be so dumb to the things of the world. I want to be so dumb to the things of the world. When they say anything about that, like, I have no idea what you're talking about. It's hard because I work in the public and I deal with people, and they're talking about it all the time, you know. I'm in the trenches with you. I'm not trying to be some kind of Pharisee or Saturday, try to put heavy burdens on you, and then I'm not going to try to lift it with my finger. I'm saying, brothers and sisters, I am in this battle with you. And I know what it's like. I know what it's like when you come home from a long day's work, and everything that you've tried to do, seems like it just, the more you try to fix it, the worse it gets. And sometimes you'd like to just sit and just relax. That's what God made fishing for. Say amen.
Amen.
Got a couple of brothers that believe that.
Okay.
He's been enlightened. I don't know what it is about fishing that I like so much. I ain't no good at it. But I like to hold a pole. And I always tell my kids when we go, I said, this is what, if we go and we're leaving empty-handed. There have been a couple of times we've done that. I'll say, well, that's why they call it fishing and not catching. I have to say that to mentor myself. You are not a horrible fisherman. You are not a horrible fisherman. Tomorrow's a better day. Amen. Let me try to get out of this rut that I'm in. I know I've probably stepped on some toes, and I've stepped on mine more than anybody else. Video games, music, movies, magazines, billboards, pop-ups on the computer. It's Satan's Eden everywhere around us. Used to be a person would have to go to a dark place to see and do certain things. Now it's everywhere. All you got to do is go down the street. Now it's when you go to the grocery store or to the ball game. Now it's, if you go any further, it's starting to come into the churches where women wear skin-tight clothes and low-cut blouses. And I thank God I haven't seen that here. And Brother Tony, let's keep preaching that, brother. Keep them things out of here. And I always remember that. You say, Brother Dan, why are you preaching these things? Because sometimes there's devils trying to sneak on you that you don't even know about.
That's right.
That's why a watchman's right on the wall and he's looking. He sees those things coming. He'll start crying against those things. And you say, I don't even see that problem. Give it a little bit.
Right.
Amen?
That's right.
And I want you to remember this. When that watchman cries out and tells you those things, if he don't cry out on you and it comes on you, that blood's on that watchman. But if he cries out to you and you don't apply that, that blood is on your own hands. And I thank God we've got a ministry here, a pastor that will keep telling us the truth. Keep telling this truth. And I tell you, we should pray for that brother every day. I'm telling you, you think you've got battles? Imagine the battles he's got behind the lines that nobody knows about.
Right.
Amen. Because I tell you what, I've been to churches here, and I've been over to overseas, and I've been there, and it's sad to see the congregations that they have to where it's some talking so vile, where the pastor is so perverted, he's messing with the women of the church, so perverted. And I see those churches saying, how I wish that we had a pastor that would just stay true to the Word. Every time I say this, God, thank you for a pastor that stays with the Word. I'm telling you what, we should pray for our pastor more than ever. Because he's the one that's watching over our souls. He's the one that says those things. And you know what? If he make it easy for him. Make it easy for the minister when he's preaching for you. Say, you know what? That's right, Brother Daniel. That's right, Brother Tony. That's right, Brother Ben. If Brother Ben's here. Or whoever it may be that's speaking. That's right, brother. And line yourselves up with it. Don't make it hard. I'm going to say this to the children. Make parenting easy, if possible. Hear that, young ones? I figured I'd hear some parents say, amen. Glory to God. I thank God. I believe we have wonderful children. I do. But let's make it easy for them to minister and do their office. Let's make it easy for the deacon. If the deacon has to come up to you and say, hey, let's kind of tone this down, don't bow up against him and say, Brother Tim, you little bald guy. Who do you think you are? Brother, you ain't lost a one. It's every one right over there. They're all accounted for. I've always wondered, do you have a bald theophany over there? And then every time you lose one, it goes over there. Brother Graham said, you don't lose a one, everyone goes over there, you know. Let's make it easy for him. Brother Tim says, hey, guys, please don't do that. Let's be on time for music. Let's say, okay, brother, God bless you. I'll do my very best. Amen? If he says, please, don't be talking in the sanctuary. Go to the foyer. Let's do it. Let's say amen. Because we're on the same team.
That's right.
Amen? And I got just a few more things I want to say. The influence of the world is trying to pervert the character of the church. And the church is fortified by the Word. If we'll let the Word slip, the influence of hell has full reign upon us. And Eve was secure as long as she stayed fortified behind the Word that Adam gave her. It was when she got away from her husband that the serpent was able to truly come to her and cause her to compromise. I want my wife to go to pull the scriptures from Romans chapter 1, verses 18. We'll go for there. I want us to go slow and read the scripture slowly and just take our time with the Lord. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. So we're not talking about people that don't have truth. It's people that have the truth and they're not holding it in righteousness.
Right.
In other words, what's that mean, Brother Daniel? They're not taking the Word and applying it to their life. So they have the truth, but they're not applying it to themselves. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. I want you to stop and think about that. Their imaginations become vain. It matters what we think about. It matters on a daily basis what we meditate on. Amen? Go ahead. Professing themselves to be wise, they become fools, and change the glory of an uncorruptible God into the image made like unto corruptible man, unto birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and received themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, now catch this, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, because they would not retain God in their knowledge. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. You can look at the world and say, how in the world did they fall into that homosexual lifestyle?
That's right.
You can look at the world and say, how did they fall into being the biggest backbiter in the church? How did they end up being the biggest whisperer? How did they end up doing these things? You know how? They didn't retain God in their knowledge. They didn't meditate on God. They didn't meditate on His Word. Young people, how important is it? You know, we used to say that in Sunday school, memorizing the children verses. We call them children verses. Is there any profit in memorizing Scripture? Absolutely. Because you know what? Whenever you're reading the Word of God and you're on a daily basis, you say, Brother Daniel, you've read all these things and I don't have a single one of them. I say, praise God. Let me ask you, sisters, how many of you brush your hair every day? You should. Say, amen, we do. What happens if you don't brush your hair every day? You get knots in your hair. I'm here to tell you, when you take services like this, and you say, Brother Daniel, that has nothing to do with me. Praise God. Let's just keep brushing the hair.
That's right. Yeah.
But every once in a while, you get a tangle. And I can tell when you get the tangle, because your eyes get about that big, and you look at me, and you say, how dare you, Brother Daniel. Say amen. When he's preaching, he said, that has nothing to do with you. I want you to remember that. Let him brush your hair. Let him take this scripture and go through that and start at the top. If you can brush this right here, I remember I used to take care of Hannah's hair when she was little and bless that girl's heart. I remember one time we were brushing her hair and it got real puffy out like that, and I was trying everything I could to help her. Had her sitting in front of me and I was pulling that brush and she was pushing forward as hard as she could and I kept going and we snapped the handle of that brush. She does not let me brush her hair anymore. He said, Daddy, I'm good. Let me do it, or I'll let Mama do it. And she can really do some really good stuff with her hair. It looks like somebody from a place did it. I don't know what you call those places, but some of those people that does your hair. I mean, it looks really good. And I say, God bless you for that, for the young sisters that do that. God bless you for that, for fixing your hair like that and a godly appearance. I think we should compliment our sisters more often. Say, God bless you for that. Our young men that are trying to dress, you know, modestly and not wearing them tight clothes to make your arms look bigger than they really are. Amen? Because you know what? When a boy dresses that way, it's just like a girl. If you dress yourself in a way to where you're making your chest look bigger and your arms looking bigger and you're walking, you're trying to dress yourself like the guy on the horse. Stop it.
Right.
You're not a cowboy. Amen?
Right.
Don't try to do that, because when you do that, you should conduct yourself in a way, because if she looks at you and she lusts after you, you cause her to commit adultery in her heart. And his sister, same way. You conduct yourself in a way to where that brother don't have to look at you and commit adultery. But look at you. Amen. Let's go ahead and all stand. I don't know how I'm going to end this. See, Brother Daniel, why don't do those things? Well, let's just keep brushing your hair then. That's what Brother Tim to come. It's real easy to put that on the sisters a lot of times. Say, sisters, you do that. Sisters, you do that. But brothers can be just as guilty. Amen. Who's going to agree with me that we're going to pray for our pastor tomorrow?
Amen.
Amen. Pray for our deacon. Pray for our trustee board. Because we're on the same team. It's Brother Tim singing them songs. I'm telling you, Brother Tim, every song he sung this morning was exactly what was in my heart, you know. Because I'm longing for that. I'm trying so hard to get there. And I want to take my kids with me. I want to take your kids with me. I want to take every person I possibly can. And while they're getting ready for a song, there is one quote I didn't read. I do want to read that. I almost forgot about it. Brother Brennan says this. He said, it's just like down here at the car works where they build up a big bunch of freight or a big bunch of passenger cars. I used to work there, and they take and build those big coaches and everything and put hard wood and inlaid mahogany all around, and everything's so beautiful. Set it out there on the track, and it was as dead as a doornail. There sat the engine, no steam in it, just sat there. What it needs today is some fire in the boiler. What it needs today is some steam. What it needs today, the church to boil, the hottest boiling thing there is to boil the sin out of your life is love. And if you can't love one another, how can you love God who you haven't seen? Love hides a multitude of sins. Get in love with God and you'll love one another. And you'll love the church and you'll love the cause. You'll love everything that's godly and you'll keep away from the things of the world. Have something like that.
Oh, ever heard a sermon that was complimentary to what's on my heart than I heard one this morning. And not just the comments that Brother Daniel made toward me, you know, but he's right.
Amen.
Amen. He is right. And what he said this morning, I really, as a minister, for me, I don't know about everybody else, but for me, I don't like repeating things, you know, and I don't want to feel like that I go over something over and over and I'm pounding people on the head. I was talking to Aunt Mary this morning. I said, you know, just talking about different subject, but I said to her, I don't want to be a tyrant. I don't want to just pound people over the head. What I want is for people to tell the truth, to share the truth, try to live the truth, but for people to obey that and take it and go with it. I want them to have the liberty and freedom that, and I didn't say all this to her, but I'm embellishing upon what was on my heart when I said that this morning, is that by the freedom of our free moral choice, you hear truth and you go with truth, and you don't let it slack, and you don't let things come in, and you don't let Satan rob you, but that you maintain victory so that I can sit back and see that truth that the ministry is giving you, give you victory day after day after day. But when you see things creep in, well, now then you have to say something. Then you have to do things. And that's where it really hurts, see? Because your ministers love you. And we want to see you victorious in God in every way. And this morning, I was just sitting back here. I know Brother Brent, Brother Daniel was going to minister, but I felt like the Lord had me write a few things to come along behind what he was going to say this morning. And I will say this, I sent out a text this morning to several people, and Brother Daniel didn't know anything about it. I love to see the Lord fight your battles. He'll do it.
Yeah.
He is wonderful in battle. And so if you'll just, through sincerity, just keep him before you, he'll go out and destroy every enemy. I've been reading in Joshua this week. And you know, when Joshua took the children of Israel into the land, every king that rose up against them, they would just, multitudes of kings would confederate together and they'd come at him and he'd destroy them all. Right?
Yeah.
And you know, Brother Brim said that's not a type of heaven. That's a type of our life here in the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Because there's battles. And in heaven we're not gonna have no battles.
Right.
But our life, what God has said, this is your promise. This is what you can have in the Holy Ghost. And in those scriptures right there, Brother Bram said, Joshua, where he placed the children of Israel in their promise, and he said, Ephesians, the New Testament, is a placing you into your position in Christ. Well, then, if the children of Israel, to get their position and go in and possess everything that God said they had, they could destroy every enemy that stood up in front of them to keep them from having that promise. Then over here in the New Testament with the Ephesians parallel and Joshua, so that there must come an Ephesus again at the end time, that God is putting us in a position where he says, I intend for you to have that position in Christ that I've given you, and anything that tries to stand up in front of you and stop that, you can destroy it.
Mm-hmm.
Not one thing. We should not have one thing that is keeping us from holding our position, getting into our position in Christ. And if the devil has convinced you that you can't beat these enemies that's out there trying to keep you from it, then he's got you duped. He's got you tricked.
Yeah.
Because the types of the scriptures show that anything that would try to hinder us from having everything God said we can have in this end time gospel message, in the fullness of what it is, then your mindset should be, I am anointed with Joshua, I'm Caleb standing right beside him, and we're going to have this land that God has given us, and I don't care what the king is, or how many kings it is, or where they come from, and what their tactics are, every one of them is going to be destroyed.
Amen.
Right?
That's right.
There's no other scripture that says we have to cope with it Right? You understand what I'm saying? I'm not trying to speak something out of you catch. It's like, you know, when you're ministering, you know, we want you to catch the inspiration of the minister standing here, not catch his spirit, but catch the same Holy Spirit inspiration, so that then you would understand what he's talking about. I said that because the other day I said, we haven't seen the bombs fall here. And I was told later on, yeah, well, they attacked Pearl Harbor. But we haven't. And this is a new generation. Right here at mainland, we're not familiar with that. See, I know that we've had, but you see, catch what I'm trying to say here. And see, that's what we want. We want you to catch what the Holy Spirit is trying to tell you, and so that you can go and be victorious and catch the end time message that tells you that you can defeat anything that comes your way. I don't care what it is.
Yeah.
Now, that's a mouthful, but you know what? It's not my word. It's his. Mm-hmm. And so we just have to take him at his word and know. But you know what? It's battles. It, to get there is just one battle after another. Satan knows what he's doing. And you know, Paul talked about it. Brother Brandon mentioned this, where Paul said a messenger of Satan sent to buffet. And buffet is one blow after another blow after another blow. I look at it and I think of the word buffet. One trip right after another trip right after another trip, right? But to buffet, Satan just one blow after another to try and get you to lay down and say, well, it was, you know, it won't hurt. Mm-hmm. It's okay.
Yeah.
See? But it's not okay. And that's right. If we'll be honest with ourselves, we can see where things slip in and we relax and we find ourselves allowing something we should have never allowed.
Yes.
That's right. See? And Satan, I really believe with all my heart right now the church is on the move. Something's happening in this world right now.
Amen.
Right now, the judgments of God are in this land. Right now, right in this world. They have been, but it's on the move. You know, we have these modern scientists, and they'll say, well, you know, well, those plagues back there you read about in history and in the Bible, that's just because they didn't know what it was. They didn't know how to deal with it. They know what it is now, and they still can't deal with it. Because no matter what they do, they're not going to defeat the plan and judgment of God. Something else will rise up that will be totally invisible to them if it has to.
Yeah.
See? So the judgments of God, and say, well, they're not for us. They're not for us. And they're not. The judgments of God are not for the Christian people, not for the bride. But I want to ask you a question. How's your walk? Mm-hmm. Do we think we're immune? You know, we just had a brother here recently pass away. LaFontaine, Brother LaFontaine. We're not immune to going by the way of the grave.
Yeah.
Brother Evans said, we pack one another over one another's grave. We're not immune to that until we get a body change. And these judgments in the land are not for us. But as you walk.
Yeah.
Achan was in the camp.
That's right.
And so I said a while ago, there was no reason why they couldn't destroy every enemy except Achan. And Achan wasn't in some other city somewhere else. Achan was what the problem was in his city, right? In the midst of Israel. That was the thing that caused them to fail. See, and until that got gone, until they got rid of that out of their household, they couldn't stand before their enemies. And you want to know why these enemies stand before us and they're not going anywhere? It's because of Achan's. Mm-hmm. You heard about it this morning. And until those things, God wants you to be victorious, but we cannot stand before our enemies as long as we've got things in our life that we know shouldn't be there.
Yeah.
And so, if Sister Vicki pull up Proverbs chapter 5, verses 5, excuse me, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 12. I just want to read a couple of scriptures and comment on, because this is what the scripture the Lord gave me to come along behind Brother Branham, Brother Daniel. He sounds like Brother Brown too. Brother, that was a good compliment. I appreciate that, because that's what I want to sound like.
Right.
Amen. I want to sound like that messenger sounding off, because he was Christ. He was repeating what the word says.
Yeah.
Amen. And what you heard this morning, you say, well, it don't matter. You know what? When Satan, the serpent, started talking to Eve, and she saw that it was, you know, good to the eyes, and one, you know, to make one wise and pleasant to look at, and so forth. And he got her over onto the grounds of reasoning.
That's right.
And through reasoning, she looked at that fruit and she said, well, you know, it looks good. It'll make you wise and all these things. And through in the mindset of reasoning, I see nothing wrong with it. You see that? And if you let Satan reason with you, what you heard this morning, he'll put you right over on that spot where you even hear a preacher say, there's nothing wrong with it.
That's right.
See? Amen. But there is something wrong with it.
Amen.
We've got to stay away from reasoning.
Amen.
And stay with the Word of God.
Yes.
And God has sent a messenger today. That we're not outside the Word. I know the Word says the Holy Ghost will lead you and guide you, and the Holy Ghost in this day will lead us and guide us to the example that He sent here to make that Word come alive to us and give us these truths that we need. And so it's not what I think, but it's that Word. And if I need some sort of interpretation of it, it's God bringing it to pass, and it's what He has displayed through that ministry. That's what we go with. So put your thinking away. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Don't be trying to figure it out, because Satan, if he gets you in that mode, you're whipped.
That's right.
This is by faith in the Word. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. Not just when you're in church.
Right.
Not just when you're praying over your food or in your prayer closet. But in all your ways, in every aspect of your life, in business, in coming in and going out,
yes,
acknowledge Him. Mm-hmm. You can't acknowledge Him if you're running a shady deal.
Right.
You acknowledge Him. Give Him something He can bless.
Amen.
See what I mean? Give Him something He can anoint and bless. And acknowledge Him in all thy ways. And He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thy own eyes, but fear the Lord and depart from evil. You know what? And this might be for our young people or whoever, but especially young people. If Satan anoint someone to say, you know what? And you could say to them, listen, thousands of years have gone by and people have tried to do what you're doing. They've tried to deviate from the Word of God, thinking they had some better way, some better choice of doing this rather than staying with God's Word. And then Satan will anoint them and say, well, that was them. But see, I know. Mm-hmm. See, they made a mistake, but I know. I'm trusting in my own knowledge, and that's what I'm saying. You can't. You can't trust in your own knowledge, your
right.
own thinking. It's not going to work.
Yeah.
It will not work. So you can't just be wise in your own eyes, because everybody likes to think they know what they're talking about. But one of the best things you can do is humble yourself and admit, I don't know what I'm talking about. Amen. Listen, when I stand here and tremble, not just here, but all week long, tremble and saying, I have this church. I'm responsible for these people. And God, I don't know how to do this, but He does. So what do? Try to go to my own thinking? No, I go to Him.
Amen.
I go to Him, and that's what I was trying to say the other day, just to follow His leadership, whether it's singing, preaching, if it's somebody vacuuming the floor, just look to God to lead you as when and how you do everything you do. Acknowledge Him in all your ways. That's our, because you know what? If we don't do that, we're going to mess up.
Amen.
We're going to mess up. But you know, the person who knows that they can't do it, that's the person God says, okay, then I can. Right. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And it should be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the fruits of all thine increase. Pay your tithes, pay your offerings, not just tithes and offerings, but your time. Your thoughts, your efforts, right? One of the greatest blessings in a church is when you got people who just want to do something for the church. And we have brothers like, well, it's going to cost this much to do. And a brother will say, well, I'll pitch in this much for that. Mm-hmm. Of his own choice. God loves a cheerful giver, not just in finances, but in everything.
Right.
Right? He has to be the center of our lives, not this other stuff. We've got to get to the place where he's number one in our lives. Honor the Lord with all thy substance, and with the fruits of thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy press shall burst out with new wines. You know what the key to being fit financially and in every way? It's not the stock market, which is plummeting because of the virus.
Yeah.
Right? They don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. Right? Has nothing to do with your welfare if he is the center of your attention.
Amen.
My son, now this is what you heard this morning. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. You should be so thankful that God, before that we go beyond the nature of your pastor or your ministry, go beyond their nature and cause them to say it again and say it again and say it again. Because he loves you. Because if God did not love you, he wouldn't correct you. He'd let you just go right along. He'd let this church go right on. He wouldn't have given you ministers who do care. He wouldn't have given you ministers who want to stay with the word. He'd just let you go right on. You'd have rock and roll here. We'd have smoke on the platform and laser beams for them. But see, he loves you and gave you somebody that'll care enough for you to tell you the truth and stay and continue over and over to tell you the truth and stay with it. Mm-hmm. Amen. We are a body and we go together.
Yeah.
Amen. We go in a body change together. We're not separate. I believe we got a unity in here that's not found in probably most churches.
Yes.
You know, it comes with a price. No, we're not huge. Huge churches don't normally have that kind of unity. But rest assured, Satan got his crosshairs on it. Amen?
Yeah.
So pray for one another. Yeah. Believe God for one another. Help one another. Amen. You know, the world's in turmoil. But you know, the scripture said, won't come nigh your dwelling.
Right.
Amen? But you got to do your part. Brother Bram said, check up every hour. He said, he recommended that he even check up every hour. You're like the prophet would? Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Amen? Because you don't know. You have no guarantee that these things aren't going to brush up against your household. You don't know that. And I'm going to tell you that when things come, when tragedy comes, it's best to be on speaking terms with God then. Right then. Not wait till that time to try to get on speaking terms.
That's right.
It's best to be, to have a pure heart and clean and no conviction in your heart about something you're left undone. It's best to have a clean heart when those things come. Because then you can stand there and say, God, I'm standing here doing the best I know how to do, and I claim this situation, victory over it, in the name of Jesus Christ. That's the place we need to be. But you know what? That's where Satan does not want you. And so as we go, just remember these things. Remember Achan, because probably a lot of us need to go home and clean house, whether it's this house or our physical house, right? It just shows that you're Christians, that Satan has attacked you, and now it's time to regroup, refortify yourself in his word, and come back at him with strength.
Amen.
Amen. That's the thing we need to do. Amen. I appreciate the fact that God has got a channel of inspiration in this church of where he wants to take us. Amen. I am glad. Because I know Brother Daniel feels the same way. Without him, we're failures.
Amen.
Amen. And that's fine, because I want him.
Yes. Amen.
I do not come up here and look for smiles and thoughts on how to share something with you. I always look to him, and nervous as can be, if it's not flowing from him. Amen. That's the way it should be. So may the Lord bless you. I love every one of you. Would you know that?
every one of you. And in my thoughts, I think to myself, I'm not worthy of these people. I'm not worthy of people to have this kind of love for one another. In myself, I'm not. Well, Lord, I love you, and I love what you're doing, and I want to be your servant and a servant to these people. And I know Satan wants to get at them, and if he has to go get at our homes to get at us, at the church, that's what he'll do. Mm-hmm. Brother Daniel, he covered it all this morning. Every aspect. That's right. Amen. So may the Lord richly bless you. Sorry, I don't mean to preach after behind him, but I really felt the Lord tell me this morning to come on behind him, not knowing what he was going to preach. But that's one thing about it. If you just trust the Lord, you know it's always going to be him. It's always going to work out.
Amen.
Amen. So let's sing something. Really have song. May the Lord bless you. Let's all stand.
I want to thank everybody for the prayers. I can't write it. Thank you, no anymore.
Amen.
But I want you to know that I really appreciate it.
Well, sister, we appreciate you. You've been a big inspiration to us all through the years, and we trust that that'll continue to be the same as we go on. But, you know, I think there's a thing among the church, you know, I think maybe even Brother Branham might have said that something like this too. You know, don't wait till they're gone to give them a flower. You know, do it now. But I think among the church, when there's a need for prayer, undoubtedly someone's like, "Well, call Sister Pansy." You know. So, but that's it. Amen. Every member of the body has a place. Amen. So may the Lord bless you. Thank you, Brother Daniel.
Thank you.